An economic story now, trying to deal with the recession and an unemployment rate in America that, while improving, is still well above the prosperous years of the last decade. We're going to take a look at something employers are doing that could have an impact on some of the most vulnerable workers in this country, workers highly likely to experience prolonged unemployment, people with criminal records. It's a non-traditional approach, and it's gaining acceptance. But to get us ready for a discussion of this, think of the number of Americans with criminal records as a nation within a nation. 65 million people, the size of France. People who have served prison time, face the consequences for their criminal actions, but who also face a much longer prospect of unemployment. To deal with this, some 10 states have passed ban-the-box legislation, which prevents employers from asking prospective employees about their criminal records. Target, the nation's second-largest retailer, also announced earlier this year they would stop asking the questions. Kai Wright is the editorial director of Color Lines. He recently wrote an article for The Nation called Boxed In, How a Criminal Record Keeps You Unemployed for Life. Kai, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you. And if we can think of people with criminal records in the United States as a separate economy, a separate country almost, how diverse is this country in our imaginations?
Well, it'd be pretty monolithic. It is overwhelmingly black and Latino and male. It is poor as a consequence of having a criminal record. It is young, and it's struggling.
And in terms of efforts to try to deal with that struggling, the ban the box legislation, do you think this can begin to have an impact, or what other sort of dynamics need to be in place to keep a criminal record from being a lifetime sentence of unemployment?
Well, that's certainly one thing that some community groups are pushing in, and it's succeeding in some states. You know, another place you're seeing it is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which has ruled repeatedly that not asking whether or not you have a record, but if you use that information as the sole decider on whether or not someone can work for you, they've ruled that to be illegal. And so they've begun last year starting to do some litigation, some high-profile litigation of companies to try to change their behavior.
Well, I sense that there are court challenges here that are going to increasingly target this economic problem in the United States, which, as you say, is prolonged. But I'm wondering if there's also a cultural shift that needs to take place, that people need to understand on some level that in the criminal justice system, if you've paid your debt to society, if you've served your time, that should be the end of it. We don't really think that way in America these days.
Well, we don't. And I mean, and I think you have to look at two big things. One is, frankly, just the scale of the population we're talking about. And that's, and I think that impacts this cultural question. By 2000, 3% of the country had been locked up. That's an enormous number of people and unparalleled anywhere on the globe. And so the culture that allows that, that says we should be incarcerating that many people in the first instance, will then struggle to understand that statistically those people are really not likely to commit crimes when they come out. We think so much about recidivism, but as one of the guys that I profiled, he committed a crime when he was 22. By the time he was 27, I think the number is, he was no more likely to commit a crime than anybody else.
Well, let's talk then about arguments for employers to either embrace this ban the box approach or take a more responsible, I don't know, progressive approach to this here.
Well, yes, but also, I mean, you just have to follow the law. So the law says that you cannot deny someone employment solely because they have a criminal record, because doing so is a de facto violation of the Civil Rights Act because of the fact that there is such a racial disparity in the number of people who have criminal records. Now, that is the ruling going back to 1987 and repeatedly solidified by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission as recently as 2012.
You know, forget the law for a moment, and I'm not doing it out of any disinterest in the law, but do recessions exacerbate this problem in the sense that there's a last hired, first fired, or a, you know, sort of low rung yeah. on the economic ladder problem, that when there is unemployment, these are the people who are going to suffer the most?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the recession's exacerbated in a few ways. One, you know, employers are looking for quick and easy ways to thin through the job application pile. And sorting for criminal records is one of them. I think there's a really striking study that showed that there was a researcher back in 2003. So this was coming out of the 2001 recession. And she sent test applicants in New York City and Milwaukee who had exactly the same resumes, had been coached to look exactly the same way, one black and one white, in each of them with and without a criminal record. And what she found was that there's a ranking of who gets called back. The white applicant with no criminal record, 34%, I think, was the number. The white applicant with a criminal record, 17%. The black applicant with no criminal record, 14%. So less than the white applicant with a criminal record. But the black applicant with a criminal record, 5%. So what you're seeing is just a sorting of the applicant pool, first by race and then by criminal records. And when you do that, you start to see explanations for why we are stuck at 13% unemployment amongst African Americans.
All right. Finally, then, what do you think the broad sociological impact of having a nation the size of France residing completely in the U.S., 65 million Americans with criminal records, so an overwhelmingly black nation? What is the sociological impact of that entity being entirely within the borders of the U.S., do you think, in terms of impact on cities, impact on law enforcement, impact on government spending?
Yeah. I mean, we know it. One, it's hugely expensive. It's and unproductive. What you end up doing is creating not only a shadow economy, but a whole group of shadow people. We're familiar with this conversation now when we talk about the undocumented population in the United States. I believe that it's, you know, it's fair to think of these men in very much that same way. You know, in many states, they cannot vote. Going beyond jobs, there's a huge range of things. You can't get a student loan, a federal student loan. There are over 800 occupations where you cannot get licenses. In New York City and in a number of places, you can't be in public housing if you had certain convictions. There's these enormous number of ways in which you're carved out of society, and jobs being the most stark of them.
Kai Wright, editor of Color Lines, contributor to The Nation, his piece on the impact of criminal records on African-American males and unemployment is in The Nation magazine. Kai, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.